Thank you. All right, good morning, church. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. I know it's rainy and gloomy outside, but good morning, church. There we go. All right. I was here just a couple weeks ago, and you guys know, like, I walk holes in this carpet up here walking back and forth. I'm pretty energetic, so I try to keep this lively. If you were here at Sunday school this morning, Brad had a great lesson, and God is so good. I was just telling him how good God is because I live like an hour away. We did not coordinate this stuff. But God is so good that Brad's lesson really kind of flows right into mine. And he was talking about domestic violence and roles of a husband. And it's really going to flow right into what we're talking about today. But today is Mother's Day. The world is out there celebrating the moms out there. And it is important to honor all of our moms. Okay? It's important. And we're going to talk about some scripture. And we're going to talk about, well, I already told my wife, I'm going to embarrass my wife. I'm going to embarrass myself. But we're going to talk about moms, and we're going to try to honor these mothers out there today because you know what? It's important to do that. It's important that we honor the moms in our life. Now, there is a difference, and I want to make sure you guys understand the difference, okay? There's a difference between a mother and a mom. I don't know if you guys knew that. A mother is someone who gives birth to a child. That makes you a mother. A mom is somebody who raises that child. And we would like them to always be the same, but it's just not that way all the time, okay? We talked about divorce in our Bible study class earlier today, and interestingly enough, I am remarried. Due to some unfortunate circumstances, I was a single dad for a while, and I can tell you how important moms are when you're trying to raise kids by yourself. So today we're going to do ourselves, at some point during this service, I'm going to ask all the moms to stand up, not just yet, and we're going to try to honor you all because you deserve it. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and we're going to talk about you guys today. So some of the mother's roles is the nurturer, okay, the comforter, the organizer, the caregiver, and the boss, and I mean the boss of the kids, okay, because that's really, we all know, they're the boss, all right? And we're going to get into some scripture about discussing some of these. And one of the first scriptures we're going to get into is in John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, there's a wedding feast happening. And most people know this story, right? This is where Jesus performs the first miracle of turning water into wine. But why does he do this? What? Why does Jesus turn water into wine? Let's read about this for a second, okay? It says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of the wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it, and when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and then when the guests are drunk and inferior, then they send out the bad wine," right? All right, so here's the story of Jesus turning water into wine. I want to go back real quick. Can I hit the back button? Oh, man, I can't. I would never do this right. How am I doing this wrong? Ha, it wasn't me. It's all good. There's no going back, people. There's no going back. It's okay. I prepared for this. If we go back to that last slide, what it said was, Jesus' mother said, "Hey, we're out of wine." And Jesus said, "Yeah, that's not my problem." Now, that's all it says there. Okay? And the next thing you know, Jesus' mother turns around and says, "Hey, whatever he says to do, do it." Now, wait a second, because if you go back, Jesus said pretty much no. I mean, eventually he said, hey, it's not my hour. What does this have to do with me? It's not my time yet, Mom. And she said, well, it doesn't tell us what she said, but we can assume that she gave him the mom look. Yes, there is a look that moms have. And it is the look that when mom needs something done and you want to buck and say no, she gives you the look. And that look is, excuse me? Yeah, I was just kidding, man. I'm going to go make that wine right now, Mom. I know you need it. See, we all have that. Those moms out there, man, they know what that look is. And it, I'm telling you, it works. When mom needs something done, she's going to get it done. Even our Lord and Savior knew that, hey, it wasn't his time yet. But his mom said, hey, Jesus, we're out of wine. And he said, yeah, but it's not my time yet, Mom. Excuse me? Listen, y'all do what he says. And then she walked away. There was no questioning it. Jesus was like, well, fill up the jugs, guys. We're making wine. Why? Because Jesus' mom said so. All right? Even Jesus honored his mother's wishes. Okay? Now I'm going to give you a little insight into my life. Okay? At one point in time in my life, I was a single father of three girls. Those girls' ages were 8, 6, and 5. Okay? I was on my own. I learned how to braid hair, even though I don't have any. I did. I could do a single braid to this day. That's all I can do. I don't do anything fancy, just single braid. I learned how to brush hair because I didn't even realize but there's a knack to brushing long hair. You can't just be up there just raking at it. There's a process. All right? Learning how to manage meals. I'm not the world's best cook. Okay? For me, I had a full-time job in the military. I was making hamburger helper 5 nights a week. And 1 night a week, I would make lasagna because that was the only thing I knew how to make. Okay? And that's how life ran for a while. And then at church one day, I ran into this amazing person. And I said to myself, hey, I like her. So I asked her out on a date. We went on a date. And then I thought for sure, I mean, look, I'm a single father of 3 kids under the age of 10. You got to be a little bit crazy to want to walk into that life. So we started dating, and I was like, all right, how am I going to lay this on her as smooth as possible? Like, how do you put this out? You can't just walk up and be like, hey, I have 3 kids under the age of 10. Is that something you think you want to sign up for? No. That would have been my answer if somebody asked me. So meet this wonderful person, and I tell her, you know, I ease into it. Like, so, yeah, I got some daughters. Amazingly enough, as we started dating, she would pop over after work, and she would start cooking food. And my kids, they turned on me. Okay? As they sat down to eat food, they turned on me, and they were like, this is the best food we've ever eaten. Look, there's, like, 4 courses. There's, like, vegetables. There's food, and it's just not hamburger helper. Because all my dad feeds us is hamburger helper and top ramen. And I said, whoa, girls. And none of you girls were complaining for the last 6 months that I was feeding you top ramen and hamburger helper. Yeah, but dad, look, she cooked us food. And this became a routine as we started dating. She would show up after work and she would make these meals. And I'm just like, and I was eating them too. Like, yeah, this is awesome. And I was like, hey, and this was not asked of her. I didn't say, hey, by the way, can you come cook us all dinner? She just started doing this. And I thought, like, man, she showed up in my life, and as we were dating, she would just visit at night after work and just start momming. She would start helping getting the kids ready to bed before she left. She would start helping cooking meals. And I'm like, man, it did not take me long at all to realize, like, listen, this is happening. You're the person I need. You're a mom. And as she was there, I started to feel like how important it was for my kids to have a mom. And how important it was that there be a mom in their life. And that even though, look, I was holding it down, okay? I was doing it. I mean, I might have not been the best dad, mom ever in there. I wasn't Mr. Mom. I couldn't make all the good food that she made. But they ate. They got baths. They showered. I got them to school. I did my job. But when she came into their lives, it became a whole different dynamic of how important moms can be and how big of an impact she made in their lives. So fast forward some time, we got married, because I had to quickly, not going to want to let that one go. She's awesome. So we got married, and she stepped into that mom role full time. And so I want to read this verse to you, okay, because this is going to matter in my life, okay, and hopefully in all of yours. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Now, I'm here to tell you guys right now that I probably fail at about 90% of that. But I can also tell you right now that most of the moms out there, they excel in this area. They excel in hospitality. Look, when somebody comes to my house or I invite somebody over, normally I'm like, "Hey, hon, so-and-so wants to come over for lunch." She's like, "Okay." Normally, that's it. Like, I already know, and this is pretty terrible of me, but I already know my wife's going to have a plan. She's going to have food that's ready for them to eat. She's going to have things organized in the house. And they're going to walk in, and they're going to thank me for all of this. Like, "Man, thanks for doing all this." And then, I'm not going to lie, I do this. I'm like, "Listen, you got to thank her, man. Because if you came to my house without her, you'd eat some crackers and cheese and maybe got a drink." But so thankfully, my wife knows how to be hospitable. Okay? Another great thing that my wife does is, and this scared me at first. It embarrassed me. All right? We went to a friend's house for a graduation party. All right? I knew the people. She didn't know them as well. We get to the graduation party, and we walk in, and we're like the first ones there because I'm early to everything. We walk in, and she sees that the meatballs weren't plugged in. So she says something to the host, the lady, and she's like, "Oh, no." And then she plugs it in for them. And then my wife just started doing things to help out. Like, I don't know if moms have, like, this secret code amongst each other. Like, I don't know if they can just say, "You know? Yeah, I know." Because I don't know what that code is, all right? But my wife started helping, and I'm like, "Hey, Mel, are you sure? You just start doing stuff in her kitchen." And afterwards, this lady was like, "Oh, my God, so I didn't even have time. Like, if you were one of those people that had to ask me what I needed done, I would have said nothing because I didn't have time to tell you what I needed done. But you jumped in and started doing stuff and helping us out, and we are so grateful." And I was like, "Shh. I'm glad, man, because that made me nervous. Like, I'd be afraid to touch somebody's stuff and get it all wrong." But my wife is a wonderful servant of the Lord and a wonderful servant to our family. And she is very kind and affectionate. And I aspire and I honor what she is able to do. Now, I know we're up here and I'm talking about my wife, okay? And we're talking about Jesus's mom. But I also want you guys to know how important it is for you moms out there. And all of you husbands out there, at some point today, and just because it's Mother's Day today, we're taking the time to honor mothers. But in reality, as we talked about in Bible study, the Bible tells us to love your wife as Christ loved the church, right? And we had discussed earlier that you have to love God first to know how to love your wife, right? You have to develop that relationship with God to really understand how to love your wife. So husbands out there today, I really want to encourage you all to at some point today, and really every day, to let your wives know and to let your moms know that you appreciate them and that you're thankful for them. And kids out there, let your moms know how much you appreciate them. Because the reality is it's easy, right? It is easy to fall into a system of complacency. Right? It's easy to just expect food to be ready. Right? I'm guilty. I am super guilty. Like, my wife cooks all of my food for me because I have a food allergy. So I have celiac disease. I can't eat gluten. It'll make me super sick. And my wife is like the best cook ever, mainly because I thought I was going to die when I found out I couldn't eat flour. Like, my diet consisted of bread in everything. And so many years ago, I think it's been like 12 plus years now that I got diagnosed, and I was like, what? I can't eat flour? Well, I might as well call it a life then and just send me to heaven because I'm toast. Like, I don't even know what you can eat that doesn't have flour in it that's going to taste good. So, and back then, it's much better now, by the way. Having gluten allergy now is much better than it was 12 years ago. 12 years ago, they had barely anything in the grocery store that said gluten-free on it. So my wife did a lot of her own mixing of flours, like corn flour and stuff, to make food for me so that I could eat. But initially, so it wasn't, but she always tried stuff. And she'd say to me, hey, if this doesn't taste good, tell me, otherwise I'll make it again. Okay? Because we want to be polite, right? Like, yeah, this is good. It's not bad. She was like, no, just be honest and tell me, otherwise I'm going to make it again. So then I had to learn, like, yeah, this is not good, honey. I know whatever this is, it's not good. She'd be like, okay, now I know I need to adjust it. Now you can go to the grocery store, and they make gluten-free double-stuffed Oreos. I'm just throwing it out there, guys. If you have a food allergy, I had my first Oreo in like 10 years, 3 months ago, and it's been the most exciting time ever. All right. But up until then, my wife made all my cookies and cupcakes and cake because we'd go to parties, and they'd be like, hey, we're doing birthday cake. And I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to stand over here because I can't even get near that cake. All right. And it's not everybody else's job to know this, but, you know, my wife would pack my food if we would go to a party because she knew that I couldn't eat whatever they were eating. And it was amazing to see her do that. And so this verse here, while it applies to everyone, and it really does, I mean, this is everybody's job. It's not just mom's jobs. I feel like the moms out there are really good at this. Moms are better than me at being kind and affectionate. Moms are better at having hospitality. I try. I really do. But my wife and my mother even do a phenomenal job of hosting people. And that is something that I need to improve on. Okay, parenting's a tough job, right? Now, I can speak to this because, again, I did it as a single parent, and I did it. My wife and I are better co-parents than I am by myself, okay? And I hope everybody out here that's raised children can probably attest to that, right? Whether one of you is playing good cop and one of you is playing bad cop, whether you guys are sitting down at night going, listen, what are we going to do with Johnny? That dude had just colored all over the walls that we just painted. What do we do? All right. Look, parenting's a tough job, okay? And there's really a million books out there that tell you how to parent, okay? But there's really only one book that matters, the Bible. That's right, because we're in church. You thought I was going to say something else, but I didn't. It's the Bible. And really, it's an excellent book as a guide for parenting. But we know that as parents, look, it is a tough job, all right? And I really feel like if you ever want to better understand your relationship with God, be a parent, okay? Because we think about this God, right? We serve this great big God who loves us so much, and we sometimes have a hard problem understanding, like, man, but I'm a sinner, God, and like, I'm going to fail today. I'm going to fail probably several times today. How can God continue to love me through that? Be a parent. You'll see. If you've raised kids at all, you know that that kid, that knucklehead kid you raised, failed you a million times, did not change how much you loved them. Might have frustrated you, but didn't change how much you loved them. All right? Parenting is a very tough job. And one of the reasons that we need to take time to honor our moms and dads is because we know that parenting's a tough job. All right? And here's my I'm about to embarrass my children's story, and only one of them's here. So it's okay. All right. But one morning, I was stationed in England, and one morning I got up, and by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but little kids, like, they're babies, they're loud, they cry loud, and oh my goodness, you just can't get them to stop. They're so loud when they cry. But then they hit an age about one when they start walking where they slowly become ninjas. They're silent. You don't even hear them get up. And they sneak around. So one morning, So all three of my daughters got up, and they said, man, it's a Saturday morning. We want to do something nice for our parents. By the way, they were like, I don't know, 5, 3, and 2. And they said, hey, I don't know how they conspired to do this, but probably the oldest said, hey, let's make them breakfast. So they went downstairs in stealth ninja-like, because we didn't hear nothing, and they grabbed eggs and ketchup. Okay, and they walked back up the stairs. Of course, one of them decided to open the ketchup bottle and walk it back up the stairs, and then stop midway up the stairs and squirt a pile, and then continue up the stairs. The rest of them took the eggs upstairs, and they had a little plastic kitchen. So finally, we heard some noise, like boom, we're just banging. What's going on in here? So we opened up their room, and there's all three of them in there with the little plastic kitchen with raw eggs mixing it up all over themselves and shells and ketchup. And I'm like, hey, man, what are you guys doing? He said, we're making breakfast. And I said, oh, man. So we spent the rest of the day cleaning up. Parenting's a tough job, right? But if you ever want to, like I said before, if you ever want to understand a relationship between God and you and how God can love you so much when you mess up so much, raise a child and you will understand just fine. All right, here in Proverbs 2, talking about training up a child, it says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Every parent that is a Christian has read this verse, right? Can I get an amen? Every parent? Amen. Yeah, you've all read this verse. Now, when I read this verse, that's pretty vague, isn't it? Train up a child. How? In the way they go, and they will not depart from it. Easier said than done. I don't know about you guys, but I've been called the master of inventive punishments. Okay? I have all girls, and one day, my two oldest girls, and you feel free to use this, my two older girls were cleaning the kitchen. And they said, they were arguing. That's what siblings do, right? No, siblings never argue. So two siblings arguing in the kitchen, and they said, I said, hey, man, knock it off. Y'all need to stop arguing and finish cleaning the kitchen. And they were like, okay, Dad. No sooner did I sit down, and they're back to arguing. I was like, man, I can't take this arguing junk anymore. I'm done with this. So I walk in. I was like, that's it. And like every parent does, I overreacted. I'm done. Here is your punishment. You will now be best friends. You no longer have a room. I'm pulling a bed into the hallway. You will share a twin bed. Everywhere your sister goes, you will go. You will eat together, sleep together, play together. You will do everything together. Do not even ask me a question unless your sister is with me or with you. If one has to go to the bathroom, you can stand outside the door and wait for them. If one finishes eating dinner before you, you can wait for them to finish eating before you get up. And they were like, no, Dad, this is the worst. It was the best punishment I ever came up with, okay? Because it did not affect me. And they could still be punished, and I could still do things. So they're punished for a couple weeks. They get over it. A couple weeks later, they're back on the buddy punishment. They decided they were going to get one over on me, okay? And they tell me this story now that they're 18 and 20. But they'll say, yeah, Dad, the second time you buddy punished us, we got you. I'm like, yeah, how'd you get me? And they were like, huh, we made it a game. We started making up, like, cute names for each other, and we just made it fun, and we got along the whole time. I was like, man, you guys got me. You got me. That's exactly what I wanted to happen anyway. But they still feel like, yeah, we got you, Dad. But there are times, man, that my kids have been knuckleheads, and while I'm the hard one, my wife has come along and been like, listen, you need to, like, step back a little bit. Let me nurture them a little bit. And she is. She's the nurturer. She's the one that's going to sit down and talk to them about the certain things that, number one, I don't want to have conversations with my daughters about certain things, okay? And I tell my wife I just won't do that because there's certain things that she needs to have conversations with them about. But training up a child in the way they should go for them not to depart from it, man, that is a great verse in the Bible. It really is. It's wonderful. I wish it had another 12 chapters to go along with it to explain how that's exactly done. All right. Talking about children, right? Because we're talking about children and we're talking about parentings and we're talking about moms. So we're talking about children here. In Matthew 19, after Jesus gets done shooting down the Pharisees for again, little kids come up to Jesus. It says in verse 13, "Then the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' When he had placed his hands on them, he went from there." So I'm going to tell you that the number one rule to raising kids that follows up with that verse of training your kids is get your kids to Jesus, right? Get your kids to Jesus. The better example that you are as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, of showing your kids your relationship with God, the better that they will follow God. Okay? The better that they will follow God. Jesus never wanted to stop little kids from coming to him. Okay? And we should want to encourage kids to get in front of Jesus, to get into his word, to tell them stories. Listen, I find that the Bible is a wonderful book, but not because I'm sitting up here as a preacher. I think the Bible's hilarious. My favorite story in the Bible that I'll give you my cliff notes for is Jonah. Okay? That's my favorite story in the Bible. And remember, I'm about to give you the cliff notes Tony version, okay? I'm not going word for word. This is the cliff notes version. God goes to Jonah and says, "Hey, go to Nineveh and tell the people that they failed, and if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy them." And Jonah says, "No, I hate Nineveh." And God says, "No, I need you to go." And Jonah says, "No, I hate Nineveh." Not only does Jonah not go, but he gets on a boat and goes in the opposite direction. God sends big storm. There's a bunch of people on the boat. They're all making sacrifices because they think they're going to die. Jonah's asleep underneath. They wake him up. He says, "Oh, that's my bad. God's mad at me. Go ahead and toss me over and I'll die because I don't want to go to Nineveh." Okay? Jonah rather die than go tell Nineveh to repent. So they toss him over and they're like, "Well, listen, man, this better not be on us, but here." Big fish swallows Jonah, spits him out on the beach. While he's in the fish, he says, "All right, God, my bad. I'll go, but I don't want to. But I'm sorry, and I'll go." So Jonah goes to Nineveh and he tells the people, "Hey, knock it off or God's going to smite you." And Nineveh repents. That makes Jonah so mad, because he really wanted God to smite them, okay? That makes Jonah so mad that he goes and sits outside the city and gets sunburnt because he don't want to be around the people of Nineveh. God grows up a plant to cover Jonah with shade, then kills the plant, and Jonah starts getting burnt again, and Jonah wants to die. There's like four times in the book of Jonah that Jonah says, "I would rather die than to do what you want me to do." Okay? Now, I tell you that story because I tell my kids stories, I summarize, to get them interested in the Word of God. Like, to me, that's a great story. Number one, the lesson in that story for me is serving God isn't always fun, right? That's the lesson I pull from that. Jonah had no desire to do anything that God wanted him to do. Serving God isn't always going to be the most fun thing you ever do in your life, okay? And the one thing is that story doesn't have a happy ending. Like, at the end of the story, Jonah is still mad. It's not like at the end of that story, Jonah's like, "All right, God, listen. So I had some hard lessons today. Got swallowed by a fish, got sunburnt, had some shade, then you killed the plant. So, yeah, I guess I feel good about doing what we did today, God. Thanks for bringing me along." No. At the end of the book, Jonah's like, "Well, this is ridiculous." He's mad. Not everything we do has to be sunshine and rainbows when it comes to God, right? It's just not going to be that way. And if you think that your relationship with God is going to be sunshine and rainbows, you are highly mistaken, okay? So I'm going to wrap this up real simple, okay? Number one, you have to have a relationship with God if you want to be a good spouse, okay? Your relationship has to start here with God. You want to be a good husband, you want to be a good wife, you better have a relationship with God. Then in that relationship with God, now that you know how to do all those things, you're going to be able to be a good husband, a good wife, and a good father and a good mother. Teach your children to be helpful. Now listen, having a servant heart is a big deal, right? We want our kids to grow in Christ and to be helpful. And then here's your message for the kids. Now look, it's Mother's Day, so especially today, we need you children out there to do all of these things, okay? You're going to mess it up, we know. And hopefully you put these words into practice more than just today. But dang it, especially today, we need you to do this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All right, we're going to stop right there. Kids got it? No, I'm just kidding. All right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So there's some rules out there, right? There's some rules that God gives us. Number one is, kids, listen to your parents. Well, man, if it was that easy, right? Raise your hand if you raise some kids or you're raising kids. Go ahead, throw a hand up for me. Are you raising kids or have raised kids? Yeah. Obey your parents. They do that every day? All the time? No. We wish, right? But we want to continue to teach that and honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. Now, there's some dispute here because even though it's Mother's Day, right, kids are supposed to honor their father and mother. Now, listen, in every family dynamic, I don't care what it is, in every family dynamic, there is a favorite, okay, in every family dynamic, whether you want to admit that or not. So, in other words, there's a child that, like, kind of snuggles up to mom when they want something. And then there's a child who, like, maybe dad likes a lot, and they're going to snuggle up to dad to get what they want. There's always in that family dynamic, but it is important that parents, that's why you need that whole co-parenting thing going on. It's important that kids obey both of their parents, right? Honor your father and mother. Not honor your father when they're giving you something, and then honor your mother when you want something from them. It's honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That it may this is my favorite part, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Because guess what? If you don't honor your mother, you may not live long on the earth. It's right there. That's what it says. You keep it up, boy, and you may not live long on this earth. And fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So God recognizes right there that guys are kind of quick, right? We're kind of quick to be the ones like, he did what? Boy, I'm going to wreck that dude. But we got to bring them up in the way of the Lord, and it has to be that way, right? If we want to be successful parents, it has to be that way. I am super happy that I met my wife, okay? Like, super happy. After 12 years of marriage, I am super happy that she came into my life, because otherwise my kids would still be eating Hamburger Helper and Top Ramen and maybe lasagna once in a while, okay? They eat a well-balanced meal. They know how to dress with modesty. She taught them all of these things that a mom should teach their daughters. And I'll be honest, I'm a guy, okay? So when it comes to daughters, I had limited knowledge to start with. But thankfully, she came along to help my kids be better, be the people they are today. And I give her a lot of credit. So what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to ask, if you are a mom, stand up. If you are a grandma, if you are an aunt, if you are a female that plays a role in raising children, stand up. Okay. Right now, what we want to do is we want to say thank you, okay? As a church congregation, we have an obligation to honor the women in our lives, to honor the moms, to honor the people who impact our children, to impact the men of the church. We thank you and we honor you. And right now, I'd just like to ask if everybody would just give you guys all a round of applause. Oh, by the way, you have my permission. You can have a seat. You do not have to cook a single thing today. All right? Take the day off. And you can say you heard it at church that you don't have to cook. Go out to eat. At this time, okay, first, like I said, we want to thank moms all around the world, and we want to thank the moms of our congregation, especially our godly women. But at this time, we're going to wrap up our sermon, and we're going to ask that if you need the prayers of the church, okay, if you need us to pray with you today, we would love to do that. If you want to join us and be a part of the Christ family in baptism, we would like to help you do that as well. And we're going to ask that we come forward at this time if you need the prayers or you want to be baptized into Christ as we get ready to stand and sing, as Brad will lead us in a song.